Turn with me, if you would, now to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. We are going to look at the final words of our Lord's Sermon on the Mount. And what a privilege it has been to look at our Lord's message. What a privilege. How wonderful it is that the Spirit of God recorded a message from the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapters 5, 6, and 7. We've been looking at it for quite a while. And these are the final words of his Sermon on the Mount. Let's begin reading in verse 24. Matthew 7, verse 24. He said, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." When our Lord preached this message, the people that heard him were astonished at his doctrine. They were astonished at his doctrine. The word doctrine means, people talk about doctrine. Well, let's talk doctrine. The word doctrine means teaching. That's all that it means. It just means what a person teaches. This person could teach this, and that person could teach that. And if they teach two different things, they have two different doctrines. That's all that it means. It's just teaching. Words. Whatever a person's words are. A man could teach his own words, saying, "Well, this is what I think." A man could teach another man's words. "This is what he thinks." Or a man could teach God's words. "This is what God says." Any of those would be his doctrine. All right, it's just whatever a man teaches. Now, if a man is going to teach God's word, then that man is going to teach with authority. If a man teaches God's words, then that man is going to teach with authority. Our Lord Jesus Christ is God Almighty, the eternal, infinite God, the God from eternity past, God, the one that people envision as the highest being, just God. The Lord Jesus Christ is God Almighty, eternal God. Therefore, every word that came out of his mouth was the word of God. Every word. And when the people heard the word of God, they were astonished at that word because it was with authority. It was with authority. It was with power. It was with strength. It was with enforcement. Authority. Enforcement. Any time that the Word of God is preached, And this is so true. And I thank God for this. Anytime the Word of God is preached, truly preached, it is preached with power. It is preached with strength. And it is preached with enforcement. Anytime it's preached in truth. And this is what I want to acknowledge about that. None of that has anything to do with the man preaching it. We just heard our brother say this very thing. I want to repeat what he just said. This is so. None of that power, strength, or enforcement has anything to do with the man preaching it. All of that has everything to do with the Word itself. I'm not doing anything in this. I'm standing up here preaching. Why are we doing this? We're doing this to worship God. We're doing this to witness the gospel. We're praying that God might save souls through the preaching of the gospel. But I'm not doing anything. This is God, His Spirit, and His Word. It's His doing. It's His doing totally. The Word itself is the authority. Preaching with authority has nothing to do with the tone of our voice or our volume. It has nothing to do with the sternness of our delivery. Nothing. Nothing. It has nothing to do with that. Our authority is not our authority. It's God's authority. It's God's authority. Now, I want to point out that in Isaiah 40, the Lord said to the preacher, "Lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Cry to the cities of Judah. Behold your God." That's authority. He said, "Say it loud. Say it strong." 1 Peter 4, verse 11 says, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God." You know what the word oracles means? The very word or utterance of God. Now that's all said in the Scripture. But turn with me if you would. We're in Matthew. Go back two books. Just go into the Old Testament to Zechariah. You have Malachi and then Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah chapter 4. And in my Bible, above verse 6, the heading at the top of my page says, "The success of Zerubbabel's foundation in the rebuilding of the temple." And what was going on here? His success in it. All right. Now, Zechariah 4, verse 6. "Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel." This is what God has to say to him concerning his success in this foundation. He said, "It's not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." He said, your success is not going to come by your own might or your own power. It's going to come by my Spirit. It is going to be my doing. And that's how it is in the preaching of the Word of God. I am so thankful for that because I feel like so many times I fall so flat on my face. I feel like I'm so weak in doing my job. And I'm so thankful that it has nothing to do with me and it has everything to do with Him. The success of the message, the liberty of the message, the authority of the message, it has nothing to do with the might of the man preaching it. It has nothing to do with his power or his own personal ability. The success of the message is in the word itself. The liberty, the authority, it's in the word itself. And to truly receive ears to hear the actual word itself, that is an astonishing thing. If a man or a woman ever really, people hear it, but if God moves, this is of God, and if God's Spirit takes God's Word and really hits a heart with it, if a man or a woman ever really receives ears to hear God's actual Word, it is an astonishing thing. It is an astonishing thing because God's Word is powerful. It is living. It comes alive. It is dogmatic. God's Word is dogmatic. It is direct. You know that? God's Word is direct. It doesn't pull any punches. It doesn't beat around the bush. It is matter of fact. The truth of God's Word declares the authority of God, the authority of God alone. And when we repeat God's Word to people and declare God's Word to people, we are declaring the authority of God alone. That's what we're doing. We are declaring this is how God said it's going to be, therefore this is how it's going to be. The authority is in His Word. And this is what His Word has to say to us this morning. All right, go with me if you would back to Matthew 7. Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. He set forth two men with two different houses on two different foundations. And he said, one is going to stand, and one is going to fall. And he said it has everything to do with this right here. The rock. It's all based on the rock. When the rain and the flood and the howling winds of God's judgment come beating down on a man and his house, everything that he has and everything that he is before God, when that judgment comes down, the house that is built on the rock will stand, and the man and his house that is built on anything else other than the rock is going to fall, and great will be the fall of it. It will be a fall unto eternal condemnation, eternal destruction. Now, that's a declaration with authority. That is. That is a declaration with enforcement. He said, this is how it's going to be. It's a declaration with certainty. There is only one way to survive the flood of God's judgment. You must be standing on the rock. And the Lord Jesus Christ is that rock. Now, I have all these notes here and I'm trying to declare them. Let me just break for 1 minute and tell you that what I have to say is so important. And I'm going to explain to you why, but this is so important May the Lord really help us to get a hold of this. May He really help us to get a hold of this. What our Lord has declared to them and to us here is, you only have one hope. On Christ the solid rock, you must stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Now, this is why I broke for a minute. That makes sense, doesn't it? That just makes sense. He is speaking of spiritual matters. All right, he's talking about spiritual things. But that makes good sense even for physical matters. If you build a house on the sand, directly on the sand, it's not going to stay there. It's just not going to stay there. There's a beach that our family enjoys going to very much. And we like to take walks down the beach. And a good ways down from where we stay, there is a section of beach that is washing away. And we have seen it now a few years in a row. We go back each year and it is washing away. And all the houses right there are in danger. Especially the one on the very end. Row 2 is about to become row 1. The ocean is now coming up under this one specifically house. They have these massive, I mean massive sandbags piled up all around these houses. But the water is coming up and under the house. They have them up on piers, but it's washing out. It's just a matter of time. It is literally just a matter of time. I don't know what the owners of that house paid for the house, but I guarantee you it wasn't cheap. I guarantee you it wasn't. They're about to end up with nothing. Nothing. They're about to have nothing. All the money they put into it, all the work they put into it, they can't even sell it because it's about to be gone. It's not even going to be real estate anymore. Nobody wants it. Nobody wants it. You can invest in a fixer-upper. But it's about to be gone. It is a condemned place. It is of no value. It turned out to be emptiness. It's about to be totally gone. Don't you know that those owners wish that they had built that house on a rock? Don't you know that? When it was first built, they wanted the sand. I get it. When it was first built, they were so happy it was built on the sand. But now, here in the end, all their hopes, all their dreams, all their investment, all their reward, it's all coming down, and great will be the fall of it. Now, their physical case is going to be the spiritual case for many, many people. And I hope the Lord will open this up to us. I believe no one wants to end up in that position. I believe no one wants to end up in that position. I believe there is not hardly anyone, I mean not hardly anybody, who would disagree with the fact that our spiritual house, spiritual, we're talking about spiritual things. I don't believe you would find anybody who would disagree with the fact that our spiritual house needs to be built on the rock. I don't believe you'd find anybody. I believe in hearing this, most everybody is going to say, those are my two options. Yes, I want my house to be built on the rock. I believe you can go into any church in town, anywhere, and put that forth to them, and everybody would say, I want my house to be built on the rock. I believe most everybody knows, and I mean everybody, those who are God's people, those who are not God's people, but still claim Christianity, those who worship God in truth, and those who are lost in false religion, I believe most everybody knows that Jesus Christ is the rock. Those who are God's people, those who are not God's people, those who worship Him in truth, those who are lost in false religion, I believe almost everybody knows that Jesus is a rock in a weary land. And I believe most everybody would say that they want their house to be built on Jesus Christ the rock. Everybody. I believe that's common knowledge. I believe that's a common opinion. And I don't believe you'd struggle to convince anybody of that from this scripture. But even so, many, many houses are still going to fall. Many, many houses are still going to fall. Our question this morning for this message right now, what I want us to know and get to the answer to right now is, why is that? If people know that Jesus Christ is the rock, and if people want their house to be built on the rock, why would their house still fall? Why would verses 21 to 23 happen to anybody? Verse 21 says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? In thy name. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. That's a fallen house. Lord, Jesus Christ, that's a fallen house. Verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I liken him to a wise man which built his house on a rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded on a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now don't turn, but in Mark 16, the Lord said to His disciples, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Many will say to Him in that day, Lord, we did that. Why has our house still fallen? Here's the reason why. All right, here's the reason why. I pray God will reveal this to all of us, me included. Here's the reason why. It is one thing to know who the rock is, and to know that a house must be built on the rock. But it is another thing altogether to actually build that house on the rock. It's one thing to know who the rock is and to know that my house must be built on that rock. But it's another thing altogether to actually build the house on the rock. Some are going to come before the judgment throne of God knowing that their house should have been built on the rock. Some are going to come before the judgment throne of God with a house that has been built on the rock. What makes the difference is who built the house. It's all going to come down to who built the house. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 127. I want us to see this and believe this on the authority of God's own Word. Psalm 127 verse 1 says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep." Now here's what it's all going to come down to. Who builds the house? Man or God? Is it built by man's works or God's grace? That's what we've been looking at in the whole of chapter 7. The answer to that is this. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. If the house is built with, I did this, and I did this, that house is not going to stand. But if the house is built with, Christ did this, and Christ did this, Christ did it all. Christ started the house, Christ finished the house. Christ did it all. If the Lord builds the house, it'll stand forever. It will stand forever. Look at Psalm 122, verse 1. It says, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." Let's go into the house that the Lord built. Do you know the Lord builds this house? The Lord adds to the church daily such as should be saved. These lively stones that our brother just read about, built on Christ. Let's go to the house the Lord built. Where men and women go wrong is they see the demands of God in His word of authority and they think, I have to do this. I want my house to be built on the rock. If I'm going to be accepted into that eternal home, then I'm going to have to do this. In the process, men and women deny and reject the one who is not just the chief cornerstone, but the builder and maker. The builder and the maker. How fitting is it that for all of our Lord's adult life, He walked this earth as a carpenter? Of all the vocations, He's the builder. He's the builder. You talk about a wise master builder. And man is going to reject Him in order to build his own house. That's what men and women do. They see that and they think, buddy, I better go to work because I want my house to be built on a rock. When men and women do that, they're building on the sand. They're putting their trust in their works. They're putting their trust in what they do. And they're building on the sand, not even knowing it. I'm going to be very brief here, but go with me to Romans 10. Romans 10, verse 1 says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness." have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4 says, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." That means Christ is the doer and the fulfiller of everything that God requires of His people. There is no need in us trying to do for ourselves what He has already done for us. Isaiah 64 says, "All of our righteousnesses are filthy rags." What that means is everything we try to do, every goodness that we try to build up on our own, will be built on the sand. If we do it, it'll be built on the sand. That's all that man can do, being dust and ashes himself. All he can do is build sandcastles on the sand. That's all he can do. But if Christ does it, if He's not only the foundation of the house, but also the builder of the house and the house itself. If we live and move and have our being in Him, if He is our house, we're not going anywhere. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. To all of those people, all of God's people, He's left us this word right here of eternal comfort. All right? If we belong to Him, and if He's our house, if He's the builder, the maker, the foundation, the house itself, then He's left us this word of comfort. Go with me, if you would, to John 14. We'll close with this. John 14, verse 1, He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." He said, "I'm going to build a house for you." What kind of house is He talking about? I don't know. I don't know, but if He said He was going to build a house, then He went to build a house. Spiritual, physical, I don't know. But He said, "I'm going to go do it." And if He said, "I'm going to go do it," that's what He did. "I'm going to prepare a place for you." Verse 3, He said, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Every soul that says, "That's My house." He is My house. He's the builder of My house. He's the foundation of My house. He's the comfort of My house. He's the beauty of My house. It's all Him. Any soul who cries, it's all Him. That soul is not going anywhere. Because the house of that soul is built on the rock, by the rock. And that house will stand forever. Lord, prepare a place for us. Isn't that our cry? Please, please. While on others Thou art preparing a place for, while for others Thou art building a house for, please build a house for me in You. You're My house. We are Your lively stones. Build us up on Christ, the chief cornerstone, as You see fit. Lord, You build the house. It'll be built. Amen. All right, Brother Eddie, you come.